So we've covered a little bit from last week. Should be 1938. Today the Lord said to me, "My daughter, look into my merciful heart and reflect his compassion in your own heart and your deeds, so that you who proclaim my mercy to the world may yourself be aflame with me." So important that we say we want to spread the good news of the merciful Jesus. First of all, we ourselves to be merciful, first of all. Not just invite people to the door picture and then we ourselves keep far from him. May 8th, 1938. Today I saw two enormous pillars implanted in the ground. I implanted one of them and a certain person the other. We had done so with unheard of effort, much fatigue and difficulty. And when I had implanted the pillar, I myself wondered where such extraordinary strength had come from, and I recognized that I had not done this by my own strength, but with the power which came from above. These two pillars were close to each other in the area of the image, and I saw the image raised up very high and hanging from these two pillars. In an instant, there stood a large temple supported both from within and from without. Upon these two pillars, I saw a hand finishing the temple, but I did not see the person. There was a great multitude of people inside and outside the temple, and the torrents issuing from the compassionate heart of Jesus were flowing down upon everyone. After Holy Communion, Jesus said, "My daughter, give me souls. Know that it is your mission to win souls for me by prayer and sacrifice, and encouraging them to trust in my mercy." So this is the task of Sister Faustina, not only on earth, but also afterlife. So today, I think she's the one give us the courage to come earlier. Is it true? Because you have to get up earlier than usual. "Oh, how great a desire. I desire the glory of your mercy for me, bitterness and sufferings. When I see the glory of your mercy, I am immeasurably happy. Let all grace, let all disgrace, humiliation and abasement come down upon me, as long as the glory and praise of your mercy resounds everywhere. That's all that matters." It's the topic, the creator and creatures. "I adore you, Lord and Creator, hidden in the Blessed Sacrament." And today we celebrate the feast of the Blessed Sacrament. "I adore you for all the works of your hands that reveal to me so that wisdom, goodness and mercy, O Lord. You have spread so much beauty over the earth, and it tells me about your beauty. Even though these beautiful things are but a faint reflection of you, incomprehensible beauty, and although you have hidden yourself and concealed your beauty, my eye, enlightened by faith, reaches you, and my soul recognizes its creator, its highest God, good, and my heart is completely immersed in prayer of adoration. O Lord and Creator, your goodness encourages me to converse with you. Your mercy abolishes the chasm which separates the creator from the creature. To converse with you, O Lord, is the delight of my heart." Do you talk to Jesus? It's delightful for Jesus. In you, I find everything that my heart could desire. Here, your light illumines my mind, enabling it to know you more and more deeply. So though you don't study what theology, but before the Blessed Sacrament, you got the wisdom, you got the grace. So don't hesitate to come into the chapel. Here streams of graces flow down upon my heart. Here my soul draws eternal life. O my Lord and Creator, you alone, via all these gifts, give your own self to me and unite yourself intimately with your miserable creature. So usually give gifts. What might be very expensive, it's very important. But Jesus gives himself to us. It's immeasurable. Can't imagine. Here, without searching for words, our hearts understand each other. Here, no one is able to interrupt our conversation. What I talk to you about, Jesus, is our secret, which creatures shall not know, and angels dare not ask about, between we and the Lord. Even the angel should know what we are talking. These are secret acts of forgiveness, known only to Jesus and me. So Jesus won't let other knows what are your sins. Whatever your sins forgiven, and Jesus won't spread out this one that done this and this. Between you and Jesus. This is the mystery of his mercy, which embraces each soul separately. For this incomprehensible goodness of yours, I adore you, O Lord and Creator, with all my heart and all my soul. And although to worship you so little and poor, I'm at peace because I know that you know it is sincere, however inadequate. So we do our best, still inadequate. But Jesus understands. As I was writing these words, I saw the Lord Jesus leaning over me, and he asked, "My daughter, what are you writing?" I answered, "I'm writing about you, Jesus, about your being hidden in the Blessed Sacrament, about your inconceivable love and mercy for people." Jesus knows, but when he appeared to us again. And Jesus said, "Secretary of my most profound mystery, know that yours is an exclusive intimacy with me. Your task is to write down everything that I make known to you about my mercy, for the benefit of those who, by reading these things, will be comforted in their souls and will have the courage to approach me." We don't have much courage to approach Jesus because we are sinful, no? So we dare not to come so close because we are not that worthy. But Jesus, that's the point. We have to come closer. That's his mercy. That's a mystery. Human being, the person offending you, you keep long distance. But Jesus is different. The more you hurt him, the more he would like to be close to you. I therefore want you to devote all your free moments to writing. That's why so big this book. But, O Lord, shall I always have a moment, at least a brief one, in which to write? And Jesus answered, "It is not for you to think about that. Only do as much as you can, and I will always arrange things so that you will easily be able to do what I ask of you." Sometimes we worry about whether we have time or not time, but just don't worry. Do your best, first of all, and Jesus will provide time and opportunity. Many times we worry so much things, we can't do this, whether that. If it's the will of God, always Jesus' giving hand, helping hand. It's wonderful. Today I was visited by a certain late person who has caused me a lot of sorrow and who has abused my goodness, telling many lies. At the first moment I saw her, the blood frozen in my veins, because there stood before my eyes all that I had to suffer because of her. Although with one word, I could have freed myself of them all. And a thought came to me to tell her the truth firmly immediately. But at the same moment, the mercy of God came before my eyes, and I resolved to act toward her as Jesus would have acted in my place. Humanly speaking, it's difficult. But with the heart of Jesus, as if Jesus, what Jesus would have done. And I resolved to act toward her as Jesus would have acted in my place. I started to talk to her gently. And when she expressed the wish to talk to me alone, I then, in a very delicate manner, made known to her clearly the sad condition of her soul. I saw that she was deeply moved, though she was trying to hide this from me. At that point, a third person came in, and so our heart-to-heart talk came to an end. She asked me for a glass of water and for two other things, which I did willingly. However, had it not been for the grace of God, I would not have been able to act in such a way toward her. When they left, I thanked God for the grace which had supported me during that time. Then I heard the words, "I'm glad you behave like my true daughter. Be always merciful as I'm merciful. Love everyone out of love for me, even your greatest enemies, so that my mercy may be fully reflected in your heart." So the more we are merciful towards people, we reflect the mercy of the Lord. We are His disciple. Whatever we do in His name, we give glory to God. Humanly speaking, it's difficult to accept people that those who don't like you, don't even look at you. But at the same time, Jesus wants you to look at them as if Jesus, the merciful Jesus, did on earth. He never escaped anybody from His eye. Love, with His love. By then we give glory to the Lord. Love for yourself. O Christ, although too much effort is required, all things can be done with your grace. It's so true, huh? I was feeling very well today and was glad that I would be able to make the holy hour. But when I began to make the holy hour, my physical sufferings intensified, so that I was not able to pray. When the holy hour was over, my suffering came to an end. And I complained to the Lord that I had wanted so much to steep myself in His sorrowful passion, but that my sufferings had not allowed me to do so. Then Jesus said to me, "My daughter, know that if I allow you to feel and have a more profound knowledge of my sufferings, that is a grace from me. But when your mind is dimmed and your sufferings are great, it is then that you take an active part in my passion, and I am comforting you more fully to myself. It is a task to submit yourself to my will at such times, more than at others." So even you can do things, you suffer more. And there's a time you give glory to the Lord, not that you just hold down before the Blessed Sacrament and meditate and all. Compare the passion. The passion itself, that you cannot go down. You can do these things. This is your passion. This is the time you will live with the Lord, not just adoration. Being with the Lord is more important. I often attend upon the dying and through entreaties obtain for them trust in God's mercy, and I implore God for an abundance of divine grace, which is always victorious. God's mercy sometimes touches the sinner at the last moment in a wondrous and mysterious way. Outwardly, it seems as if everything were lost, but it is not so. The soul, illumined by a ray of God's powerful final grace, turned to God in the last moment with such a powerful of love that in an instant you receive from God forgiveness of sin and punishment. While outwardly it shows no sign either of repentance or contrition, because souls at that stage no longer react to external things. How many times the dying person, no reaction? You feel sorry? But maybe if you really, Jesus asked her to say the divine mercy before them, let them hear the merciful God. The last moment they can, once they got the grace, they could, once they say sorry, just one word, sorry, are forgiven. Only men are so stubborn, obstinate. They don't want to say anything. But then Jesus said, don't worry. Even they don't show. Many times we say, when you go to the sick person or very dying person, well, no need to pray much. He's dying, you know, as if no sense. But just know, even the last moment can save a soul. Just say the divine mercy, the chapter of divine mercy before them, and let Jesus work. So this is the first time I hear this word. Because many times I go, oh God, no reaction to the person, you know. Oh, how to beyond comprehension of God's mercy. Just one bit of our yes, our sorrowful heart. Jesus forgiving. Can't imagine. But horror, there are also souls who voluntarily and consciously reject and scorn this grace. Although the person is at the point of death, the merciful God gives the soul that interior vivid moment, so that if the soul is willing, it has the possibility of returning to God. But sometimes the obduracy in souls is so great that consciously they choose hell. They make useless all the prayers that other souls offer to God for them, and even the efforts of God Himself. So, obstinate. Try to be more willing in life. When you are used to stuck to your idea, even the last one, you stuck to your obstinacy. You see, God's mercy is so open, but still people choose. Can't imagine. But also we have to pray for this grace. Open heart. Sometimes we presume to be open our hearts, but quite obstinate. So try to be forgiving on earth to people. Another of meditation, solitude, my favorite moments. Solitude, but always if you, Jesus or not. Solitude means alone. Alone, not just alone with yourself, but with Jesus. That's our solitude. Not just you stay in your room and nobody care, and then you just stay and hang around, then you're solitude. And that's not solitude. Without Jesus, it's a desert. It's not solitude. Solitude with Jesus. Close to my heart, time passes pleasantly for me. And close to Him, my soul finds its repose. When the heart is filled with you, and overflowing with love, and a soul burns with pure light, for a pure fire, then amidst the utmost desolation, the soul will not experience loneliness, because it rests on your bosom. O solitude, moments of supreme companionship, though I be adored, abandoned by all creatures, I immerse myself totally in the ocean of my Godhead, and you listen sweetly to my confidences. In that paragraph, this evening, the Lord asked me, "Do you have any desires in your heart?" I answered, "I have one great desire, and it is to be united with you forever." And the Lord answered me, "That will happen soon. My dearest child, your every stirring is reflected in my heart. My gaze rests kindly upon you before any other creature." The more we love Jesus, he's really close to us. Faustina, she loved Jesus so much that all his 24 hours, over 24 hours, just only for Jesus. That Jesus promised her, "I'm with you always." We too, don't think that only for Faustina. Yeah, she is exceptional, but we can be exceptional if we have the love. We can have exceptional love for Jesus. And Jesus is the same. Don't hesitate. Don't doubt. Many times we thought that, oh, only for the saints they do this. No. You have to make effort. Huh? I asked the Lord today that he might deign to teach me about the interior life. Because of myself, I cannot neither understand nor conceive anything perfectly. The Lord answered me, "I was your teacher, I am and I will be. Strive to make your heart like unto my humble and gentle heart. Therefore claim your rights. Bear with great calm and patience everything that befalls you." Sometimes we agitate a little bit, you know. We want the things, difficult things finished earlier. Calm. Stay with where you are. Of course, but stay with the Lord. It's difficult. Right? We don't have this patience. We want the thing to get rid of, and then Jesus said, "Bear with great calm and patience everything that befalls you. Do not defend yourself when you are put to shame, though innocent. Let others triumph. Do not stop being good when you notice that your goodness is being abused. I myself will speak up for you when it is necessary. Be grateful for the smallest of my graces, because your gratitude compels me to grant you new graces." Just to be good always. Patient. Stay with Jesus. Although you're still in darkness, stay with Jesus in the darkness. He will look after you. Toward the end of the way of the cross, which I was making, the Lord Jesus began to complain about the souls of religious and the priests, about the lack of love in chosen souls. So especially for priests, for nuns, Jesus suffered more. Because they are chosen souls and they don't give appropriate love for Jesus. Word of Jesus. I will allow convents and churches to be destroyed. I answered, "Jesus, but there are so many souls praising you in convents." The Lord answered, "That praise wounds my heart. because love has been banished from commons. Yeah, that means to say we pray, but no love. That's the point. Souls without love and without devotion, souls full of egoism and self-love, souls full of pride and arrogance, souls full of deceit and hypocrisy, lukewarm, souls who have just enough warmth to keep them alive. My heart cannot bear this. All the graces that are poured out upon them flow off them as off the face of a rock. Is this the grace of God always? I cannot stand them because they are neither good or bad. I called commons into being to sanctify the world through them. It is from them that a powerful flame of love and sacrifice should burst forth. And if they do not repent and become enkindled by their first love, I will deliver them over to the fates of this world. How can they sit on the promised throne of judgment to judge the world when the guilt is greater than the guilt of the world? There is neither penance nor atonement. O heart, which received me in the morning and at noon, are all ablaze with hatred against me, hatred of all sorts. O hearts, specially chosen by me, were not chosen for this, to give me more pain. The great sins of the world are superficial wounds on my heart, but the sins of a chosen soul pierce my heart through and through. You understand? You are chosen also, eh? Don't think that you are not a nun, you are not religious, and then you are not part of this category. You are chosen to be a holy person. If you don't do that, your convent, the world, the place where you work is a convent. But you just pray and no love, the same. Don't just say, oh, you sister, you don't pray. Sister, you don't love. Always you point the hand of the others. Oh, you priest, you don't live well, so I'm okay. You are not yet okay. The priest is not okay, of course, not okay. You are still not okay. Don't say that he is not okay, that's why I'm qualified not to be okay. That's not true. You are not following a priest. You are not following a nun. You are following Jesus himself. Okay. The last words I say again, would be nice. How can they sit on the promised throne of judgment to judge the world when the guilt is greater than the guilt of the world? There is neither penance nor atonement. O heart, which received me in the morning and the noon, are all ablaze with hatred against me, hatred of all sorts. O heart, specially chosen by me, were you chosen for this, to give me more pain? The great sins of the world, the superficial wounds on my heart, the sins of a chosen soul, pierce my heart through and through. So when you come to morning mass on Sundays and receive Holy Communion, you are really into the convent of the Lord. But be careful. When you go home, don't shout as yesterday. Don't look at people in the same way. Otherwise, you're not better than a nun. Jesus gives excuse to people on earth, in the world, they are understandable. But for a chosen soul, they are not excusable because they are supposed to be better. But Jesus really hurt. Not too hot, not too cold. The Revelation book says, I will vomit you out. Jesus doesn't like half-hearted thing. Right? All this, Jesus doesn't want us to be more or less. As what Jesus said in the gospel, you have to be perfect as God the Father is perfect. As God the Father. Even now you imitate Faustina, is not in love. Even you imitate Sister Teresa of Lisieux, is not in love. It's a great calling, man. Let us strive hard. Oh, by the way, tonight at 11 o'clock to 12, it's the same time as 5 o'clock to 6 in Rome. The Pope invites the whole world to pray together with him that hour. The whole world, all Catholic. We got more than 10 million, not that old, 10 million, 100 million Catholics in the world. Imagine, it would be wonderful. The church tonight will be open until midnight. You can come in anytime from 8 to 12, adoration. If you cannot come into the church, stay in your room, you definitely should off your duty. 11 to 12, stay with the Pope in Rome. He's praying before the Blessed Sacrament. In the world, there are many places, many churches open to pray together. It's a wonderful experience. We never did the same time, the same hour with the Pope together. This is our unity, expression of unity with the church. Try, don't forget, write it down. 11 to 12. If you can come, so much better. If you cannot, stay where you are, one with us. Stay with us. And we stay with the Pope before the Blessed Sacrament. Okay? We do it.